Okay, we're on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. We're going to start six lines from the top. Yeah, by you it's 23A1. Chav Gimel Married Cotton, don't forget, not in Chagiga, yeah. Okay, Chav Gimel. 5 lines from the top. Last time we're learning if the Nasi passes away, if the Avbezdin passes away, the various different dinim. So now there's a new thing. Rabbanan learned. Ovel Shabbos Rishena, and here there's different ways of learning, but the simple way, like Rashi learns, the first week, and he ate me Pesach basic. The first week when he's in the middle of Shiva, he doesn't leave the house. Shnia, the second week, Yaiti goes out of the house, but and Yeshiv Bimkami, he doesn't sit in the regular place in Shul, he changes his seat. Shlish is the third week. Yeshiv Bimkami, he could sit already in his regular place. But he doesn't speak. Meaning, he doesn't speak as much as he usually speaks. He could speak, it's not the forbidden. It means he's not allowed to speak as much as he usually speaks. Then it says, Revius, the fourth week, Arehu Kuchol Adam. It's like every other person. Meaning, he could talk, whatever he wants. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. I agree with you, but everything's 1 week off. What do you mean, 1 week off? Rabbi Yehuda Eimer says like this. Lehustrach leime Shabbos Rishena leyetzim mipesach basic. It seems that there was they heard, the first week you don't go out of your house. The second week you go and change your seat. The third week you go and don't talk. You know, so he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that has to start a week later. Because to tell me he doesn't go out of the house the first week, that's understood. Shiva, you don't go out of the house. So he said like this. What it means is, it's not necessary to teach us. The first week you shouldn't go out of the house because it's understood. Everybody comes to him. So you don't need a din to tell me he doesn't go out of his house. It's a given. What it means like this. The first week he sits Shiva. Shnia, the second week, and Yetzim Pesach Beisi, he doesn't go out to the shul. Shlish is the third week. Yetzim, he goes out to shul, but and Yeshibim Kameh, he doesn't sit in his regular seat. Revi is the fourth week. Yeshibim Kameh, Veinim Medaba, he sits in his place and doesn't talk. Chamish is the fifth week. Areya Kachol Adim is like every person. Meaning, the whole argument is between Rabbi and the Chachamim started the first week right away. 4 weeks. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you start from the second week, 4 weeks.
This is more strict.
He's stricter, yeah, because he adds another week to it. Okay, that's what the Gemara said in Tuna. What?
Second week, you shouldn't go out either?
Right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means even the second week you don't go out.
People don't cut this as the second week.
It's interesting. I don't know, but the bottom line is he doesn't go out alone.
Just don't have his thing, right?
No, all these things don't apply to me. No, it's an interesting point. I was thinking that myself before, that if he's not going out the second week, the first week he has a minion in the house. The second week, you know, like, but this could be with pre-Kaddish. And you said the Kaddish started later. You don't find Kaddish in the Gemara, Bachlal. So the whole concept of Kaddish started later. Okay, then it says, Tan Rabban. Rabbanan, there's another brayso also in the laws of mourning. Kol shleishim yeim l'nesuim. All 30 days, an ovel cannot get married. Okay, now, Edison, as the Mefarshim explained, he says, discusses this at the bottom, obviously, an ovel cannot get married in the first 30 days. But he can do Edison, he can do Kedushin, or what we call today, he can get engaged. Now, in the time of the Gemara, we learned they didn't do. Today, we do everything together under the chuppah. We do kedushin, you know, the ring giving. Then we separate with reading the ksuba, and then you have sheva brachas, which is the chuppah. In the time of the Gemara, they did kedushin areyat mekudeshesli. 12 months later, they got married, and so on. So, what the Gemara says over here for nisuin, for the chuppah that they should be able to live together, the din is he's not allowed to get married for 30 days. There's a whole issue. This is speaking, by the way, when there was no wedding date set. If there was a wedding date set before Shloshim, and then the person lost the parent, so then sometimes it is possible to get married during Shloshim. But here the Gemara says, just to get married in the middle of Shloshim, he can't do. Now, Mesa Ishtai, what happens if somebody's wife passes away? When is he allowed to remarry? How much after is he allowed to remarry? It says, Asa Lisa Isha Cheres, he's not allowed to marry another woman, Achiyavada Olav Shloshim Regolim, until three Yamim Tevim pass by. Okay? And then, he says, and then, the question is also, does it include Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? That's a machlekes in the Rishonim, if this applies to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur as one of the holidays or not. But the, basically, the Gemara says, you need three Yamim Tev, which meant, no, but right. So according to some opinions, if somebody's wife died right before Rosh Hashanah, yeah. So according to certain opinions, you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So right after Sukkot, he can get married. But without that, what happens if somebody's wife died right after Pesach? Mm-hmm. So he can't get married basically until Shavuos, Sukkot, let's say. So he couldn't get married until after Sukkot, for sure not. Maybe even until after Pesach. So it depends. You know, when the person died, when the wife died, when he'd be able to get remarried.
But it says regarding, why would they even think Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Yeah,
because if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur take away Shiva, it is considered a regal. That's the thing.
They call it a regal anyway, even though they don't go to Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskens, by the way, it needs to be Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, not Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So, I mean, according to that, if somebody's wife died, let's say, right before Pesach, God forbid, right after Sukkot, he can get married. But if she died right after Sukkot, he has to basically wait until Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot go. So he needs to wait a year. The Gemara says you need to wait three holidays until he's allowed to remarry. Now, what is the reason for that? There's two reasons. One reason Rashi gives in a different place, because if a guy gets married right away, it looks like he didn't miss his first wife too much. You know, he's remarrying right away. That's one opinion. Another opinion is, it says that the extent appears that his memory of the first wife recede, that he shouldn't think about it when he remarries his first wife. So because three Yom Tovim pass by and the Simcha of Yom Tov, that's going to make him slowly forget, so to speak, about his wife, and then he would be allowed to remarry. Now, what happens, it brings on an interesting halacha, only part of the halacha, though he doesn't say the whole halacha, which is another interesting thing. What happens if a husband dies? When can a wife remarry? She doesn't have to wait three holidays. She has to wait, like we know, 92 days. Because you don't want to know, you want to make sure that if the kid's in the first father, the second father. So she has to wait 92 days. She doesn't have to wait for the three holidays. But there's no
mitzvah for a lady to demand.
Per se, no. No. But there is a concept of Leilatehu Bara Elo Shavas Yisar. The world was not created to keep empty, it was created to inhabit, to civilize. So according to many Rishonim, she is obligated in that. But she's not mechuyev in the mitzvah pruervu. So she's not obligated in the mitzvah of getting married. But there is another halacha that if somebody has a baby and the husband dies, she's not allowed to remarry for 2 years. It's a mission in Yevamos. If a woman, let's say, just gave birth to a baby, God forbid, and the husband died. God forbid on the husband, not on the baby. God forbid the husband dies. The woman is not allowed to remarry for 2 years, the Mishnah says in Yevamos. And the reason for that is, it's called Muberes Chaveri Menekes Chaveri. Or, if a woman is pregnant and her husband dies, she cannot remarry until the baby is born plus 2 years.
Wow. Is he going to support a baby?
And
that can hurt.
1 second. She can't make it. Why? Because a woman, interestingly, has a halachic obligation to nurse her husband's baby. Now, if she is going to marry and get pregnant, she's going to have to stop nursing the baby. So she's stealing the right that the first husband has that she nurses his baby for 2 years. That's why there's a tshuva in Rav Moshe Feinstein. Not everybody agrees with it, but there's a tshuva in Rav Moshe today that nowadays that we only nurse, most women don't nurse 2 years. They nurse, let's say, 18 months. So he writes, you can wait 18 months. But even that's a debatable halacha. But that's what he writes. He could be meikul. But the Mishnah, if you look in the Gemara in Yevamos, the Mishnah says, Ubedes chaveri, menekes chaveri, a woman cannot remarry until she's 2 years old. The same, by the way, if a woman gets divorced. Yeah. If a woman gets divorced, she has a baby. She has a month-old baby and they got divorced. She cannot remarry until that baby is 2 years old. Because she still has the obligation of the husband. But let's say she doesn't have any kids, then this whole din of waiting 3 yamim tevim to remarry doesn't apply to the woman. It only applies to the man. That if the man's wife dies, he has to wait 3 yamim tevim. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda argues. And he says, Regel vishen visheni osir. The first yamtiv, the second yamtiv, he cannot remarry. But shlishi, right before the third yamtiv, he could remarry. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you don't need to wait 3 yamim tevim, you have to wait 2 yamim tevim. And he can marry right before the third one. And the chachamim hold, you have to wait 3 yamim tevim. Now, this is a very important thing. V'me'en le'banim, what happens if a person's wife died and he doesn't have any kids, so he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah pruer vu, then mutar lisa la'alti, can marry immediately, mishum betel period iver, like this, because he needs to try to get the mitzvah of having children. Or, enicha le'banim ketanim, what happens if the wife died and she left him with a bunch of little kids and he has nobody to take care of the kids? He has to go work. They didn't have daycare in those days. And the Pasha needed someone to take care of the kids. Mortally, he can also remarry right away. Mipnei panasasan. Here, panasa doesn't mean making a living. It means somebody to take care of the kids. And by the way, this is halacha today also. In fact, the Gemara even, the Brais even says a story that happened. The wife of Yosef HaKohen died. And he said to his wife's sister in the cemetery at the time of the funeral, "Lechi ufanasi is bnei achesich, go care for your sister's children," meaning, I'm marrying you. He married her right away. But Alpha became, nevertheless, Leibo Allah didn't have relations with her, but for a long time. In other words, it was very interesting. In the olden times, it was very common. We read in Achrimes, we read, V'isha l'achesa l'isikach, l'tzera l'galis e'vasa ala b'chayeha. There's a din in the Torah. A lot of people don't know this din. It's a pasuk in Chumash. You can't marry a woman and her sister as long as the wife is alive. That means, if somebody is married to a woman, let's say Rachel and Leah are sisters, right? And he married Rachel. And Rachel died, he can marry Leah. If Rachel didn't die, he divorced Rachel, he cannot marry Leah as long as Rachel is alive. It's a pasuk in Chumash. We just, last week's parsha, right? Well, this past Shabbos. No, you're right. I think Achrimais, you're right. I think Achrimais is last. You're right. This week's parsha. No? Yeah, this week's parsha. So it says you can't marry a woman and a sister as long as the sister's alive. Meaning, if somebody marries Rachel and divorces Rachel, he can't marry Leah. But if Rachel died, then he's allowed to marry Leah. And in fact, it was common practice. If you read a lot of the stories about tzaddikim and that, it was very common that if a man's wife died, he married her sister.
What if the sister wanted to get married?
Then they wouldn't. I mean, but no, many times it was like in the family already. They knew him. It was already, and they set up the shidduchim like that. So if there's a sister, marriageable age, you would. So it says, this Rabbi Yosef HaKohen said to his sister-in-law, okay, I'm marrying you, take care of the kids. They got married, but he didn't have relations with, out of respect for his first wife. for it doesn't say how long, but it was So Gemara says Ma'ala Zman Meruba. What does a long time mean? So he said Lachash Shleishim Yom. He waited for 30 days. Well, what do you see from the story? The Gemara proves that a person, if he needs to marry for the sake of little kids, he's allowed to. Okay, so again, according to Chachamim, you need, and that's the halacha, by the way, you need to wait 3 yomim tevim. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur halachically are not counted. Because not, v'samachta b'chagecha. The reason is that he should have the simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are yomei din, not days of simcha. So, therefore, the Chachamim hold that's the halacha, you need to wait 3 yomim tevim after somebody's wife dies to be able to remarry. What happens if he didn't have children yet? Or he needs somebody else to take care of the kids, then he's allowed to marry her right away. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Rabban alert. Kol Shlei Shemyayim Legiyutz. For all 30 days, you're not allowed to wear freshly pressed clothing. You have washed clothing, and you have Giyutz pressed clothing. So not only can an oval not wear laundered clothing, he can't even wear pressed clothing. And in certain shittas hold, by the way, pressing is even stricter than washing. Because there's more joy when you wear a pressed garment than if you just wear a washed garment. Okay, so it says, Kol Shlei Shemyayim Legiyutz, all 30 days, he's not allowed to wear pressed clothing. Echad Kelim Chadoshim, whether they're new clothing, or Echad Kelim Yishanim, or old clothing, that come out of the press, it's still forbidden to wear those clothing. So this opinion holds, any pressed clothing, whether they're new or old, you know, you cannot wear for the first 30 days in mourning. Rabbi Yami Rabbi says, no. The Chachamim only forbid new clothing. In other words, if it's pressed, old clothing, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is even more makel. Lei amro ela kelim chadashim levonim bilvat. Not only new old clothing, you can even wear colored new clothing. So he's more makel. So there's three opinions over here. The first opinion says any pressed clothing you can't wear. Rabbi says no, only new pressed clothing you can't wear. Old pressed clothing you could wear. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, only new white clothing which are pressed you can't wear. But if they're colored garments, you could wear them. So obviously Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is the most lenient. So the Gemara says, Abaya nafik begardo de sarbala. Abaya went outside during Shleishim with a teaseled coat, which means it's a coat, the hairy surface which was raised through combing, and therefore, it's an old white garment that was pressed. But they used to, it's like a hairy garment. They would comb it up, like press it by combing it, and it would be look pressed. So Abaya went out with this garment during Shleishim. Because Abaya said, old clothing, you could wear, even if they're pressed. Karebi, like the ruling of Rebbe. And it doesn't mean only Rebbe. Even Rabbi, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, for sure you could. He said, even according to Rabbi, he was allowed to. Rava nafik b'chemutzusa rumisa sumak techadete. Rava even more. Rava went out with new colored pressed clothing during Shleishim, like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Okay, so this is, you know, what Abaya and Rava did. And Taisus over here says an interesting thing. The fact that there's a machlekes Abaya and Rava, the law is like Rava. So that means over here, the law is like Rava. Which means, Rava went out with new colored garments. Which means, that Rava maintained, that law is like a belazer ben Shimon, that the only garments you cannot wear pressed during Shleishim is new white pressed garments. Old garments for sure you could wear, even Abaya maintained that. Rava held, even new garments which are colored you could wear. And that, and Taisa says, that's why that's the halacha. Like Rava, that you could be Mekel, and like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon.
How did you wear colored clothes?
Why not?
I thought the custom is to wear only white.
What's interesting is, Numisa Sumakta, Sumak is red, which is surprising. Rava went out with red clothing. But, you know, it's very interesting. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Avodah Zarah, you know, Avodah Kechavim, when it says about the dinim of not wearing clothing of a goyish style, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, with the Mefarshim on the side, the Shach and the Taz, it's unbelievable. One opinion says, you can't wear white clothing. Another opinion says, Mamish, that one sif in Shulchan Aruch, including the Shach and the Taz, they bring it like this. You can't wear red. You can't wear white. You can't wear black. You can't wear whatever color. Blue, I think it says over there. A whole bunch of colors that you're not allowed to wear. So the later poskim, and under the Shulchan Aruch, the later poskim discuss that Lamoshul, in the opinion that said you can't wear black clothing in the street, because that was the Goyish color. So in that country, if a Jew wore black, it was like to follow the ways of the Goyim, so he wasn't allowed to wear black in that country. The poskim that write, you can't wear white clothing, because in their country, the Goyim wore white. So, you know.
In this country?
In this country.
You wear all the colors. So
if you don't wear anything, you're in style.
That's right.
But, no, you can wear anything. But I'll give you an example where many places it's brought down in later, in more contemporary poskim, you know, at a funeral, Yidden always, for all generation, wore black.
All black.
All black. Then it became a goyish custom. So you'll find poskim, more recent contemporary poskim, that were right, you're not allowed to wear black at a funeral. Because, in other words, to dafka wear black. I mean, you always wear black, you're wearing black. I'm saying, but dafka, because it's a funeral, to wear black is a shayla of chukas hagoy, of going in the goyish tradition. Some people say, listen, this is old Jewish tradition, you go, you know. But it's interesting, the various different opinions. So it's interesting that Rava went out with red, how do you translate here in the English?
Roman tunic.
Roman tunic that was red and new. Number one, he's wearing a Roman tunic, which itself is a goyish thing. Red.
It says that Rava was harassed by King Shapur of Persia on many occasions.
Right.
So maybe we shouldn't read too much into what he did in public.
Because he was under the government.
He was always watched.
He was always watched, and not only that. See, Tesis over here says, all the way at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, the last tesis is two line tesis. In came mutar lelvish kelim megotzim tzvuim afilu chadashim, or old ones even white, and that's Rabbeinu Chananu paskins too. So now the fact that Rava went out with colored new shows the only prohibition is new white. But new colored or old, anything that you're allowed to wear.
What was special about white? More
chashuv? It's more noticeable when it's pressed. Oh. So it likes more simcha.
Hey, Rabbi, can I ask you a question? What we're talking for? If Goyim decided that the kippah becomes a fashion statement, and everybody's starting to wear a kippah, that means they're just going to get rid of the kippah now?
I don't understand.
No. There's a difference. If Goyim start keeping kosher, you have to stop keeping kosher.
So that's my question.
No. The difference is the yarmulke you have to wear. There's a chiv. So just because the Goyim started, you can't take away a chiv. Here we're talking about a style. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a style, it's not something you have to wear.
Would we change our style then because of that? Because they all like the Jewish styles.
What's interesting is, you know, the Strimlech and all that. That came from Polish nobility. Mm-hmm. Where did the Strimlech get? The Strimlech was not a Yiddish thing 500 years ago. It was taken from Polish nobility. The nobles.
When they stopped wearing it.
Huh? They stopped wearing everything. I mean.
No, when? When?
A few hundred years ago. Because the son of like royalty, of Shabbos, nobility and royalty.
So that's like walking the ways of the dead.
Somebody asked me an interesting question today. It was something with Ask Moses. With somebody asked the question, if a woman is allowed to wear a yarmulke, can a woman wear a kippah? So the guy, this is the guy answered, he could. Oh, if a woman must wear a kippah, she could wear a kippah. So people wrote in, what do you mean? It's like silver gift, it's a man's garment. How could a woman wear a kippah? It's a man's garment. Right?
Yeah.
So the guy asked me what's the story?
The rabbi, exactly.
Yeah, is she allowed to or not allowed to? So he said, it depends why she's wearing it. If she needs to cover her hair and it's the only thing that's there, you say it's forbidden to use it. She's not wearing it to look like a man. If a woman rabbi would wear a kippah, besides all the other things she's doing wrong, then it would be a taka shaila to wear a kippah. Because she's doing it to look like the Pope. I mean, to look like a man. Then you have a shaila.
But just to cover her hair is not a
shaila.
There are many poskim, now the Rebbe doesn't bring it down interesting, but there are many poskim that hold that a lady is not allowed to wear tefillin because it's a man's garment. Who wears tefillin? Men, not women.
Rashi's
that's an exceptional case, I'm saying. Or the poskim that write, a woman, even though Shulchan Aruch says a woman, if she wants to wear tzitzis, could. But there are poskim in Halacha that say a woman is not allowed to wear tzitzis. Why? Because it's a man's garment. And a man's garment, she's not allowed to wear.
So that's nothing to do with the fact that they're not
chiyuvim. No.
I see.
But you can't say that that's something which is an obligation. If goyim start wearing tefillin, you can see now to wear tefillin. I mean, you have to wear tefillin.
We have to change the style.
Of tefillin. Okay. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. Bottom line of Chul Gimel Amir Aleph. It says that if Shabbos doesn't take away Shiva, right? Shabbos is counted as one of the 7 days, but unlike Yom Tov that stops Shiva, Shabbos doesn't stop Shiva. Right? That's what we said before. So the Gemara says, because we said, the Mishnah said, Shabbos is counted as one of the 7 days, but Veinim Afsekis, it doesn't cut short Shiva. So the Gemara says, there was an argument between Bnei Yehuda, Bnei Galila, between the Judeans and the Galileans. The Hani, I mean, one of them said, Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, that there's mourning in Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have to act with Avelus. Bahani Amri, and the other one said, Ein Avelus B'Shabbos. Now, Taisus right away explains over here, what Avelus are we talking about? The top right Taisus says, B'Doran Shebitzin Almighty. It appears, B'Kunz, like Rashi explains. I mean, Taisus and Rashi agree in this case, that what the Gemara says, there's Avelus and Shabbos, cannot mean public mourning. Because public mourning, we learned already, is forbidden on Shabbos. Right? So therefore, what do they mean when they say, Yesh Avelus b'Shabbos? It means private mourning you have to keep. Now, what does it mean, private mourning? Marital relations, washing with warm water, things that nobody sees. That you're not allowed to do. But other people say, public mourning not. Somebody Shainim learn, that this opinion, even though it's not halacha, but this opinion says even public mourning has to be done on Shabbos. Which means, according to this opinion, that there's avelus on Shabbos, you have to wear your torn clothing, and you have to wear with sneakers, and, you know, according to this opinion. But Taisus and Rashi learn, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about private avelus. The other opinion says, there's not even private avelus. Nothing on Shabbos at all. So the Gemara said like this. Why does each one say what they said? They learn it from our Mishnah. There's the opposite opinions are deriving it from the text of our Mishnah. Because man, the opinion that says, yes, Avelus b'Shabbos, it is Avelus in Shabbos. Because what does the Mishnah say? Eila. Eila means it's one of the days of Shiva. Right? So if it says Eila, it's one of the days of Shiva, that means he acts like Shiva on Shabbos. Man di yomer ein avelus b'Shabbos. The opinion that says there is no avelus in Shabbos because it says ein mafsekes. It doesn't stop Shiva. That's what the Mishnah says. Shabbos is counted, but it doesn't stop Shiva like Yom Tov does. So the Gemara says, "Isal kadai checheish avelus b'Shabbos." If you're telling me that it means that there's mourning on Shabbos, he says, "Hashta avelus nahaga." If there's avelus, afsuke mi boy, does it have to tell me it doesn't stop it? You're telling me, "Ola the ainu mafsik," meaning it's counted, but it doesn't stop Shiva. Now, if Eila means you have to keep Shiva on Shabbos, of course it doesn't stop Shiva. Right? If the Mishnah is saying Eila, which according to this opinion means you have to sit Shiva on Shabbos, then why do I need the Mishnah to tell me it doesn't stop Shiva? Why should I think it stops Shiva if you're sitting Shiva on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, it says Eila. So the Gemara says, but it still says Ola, the Shabbos is counted. So how can you say there's no Avelus on Shabbos? He says, I did the Kabbalah Mishnah Sefer. At the end of the, in the next place it says, Eina Eilim, that Yom Tif is not Eilim. So because of that, it says here, Eilim. In other words, later in the Mishnah, in the later part of the Mishnah, it says, Yom Tif is not included. So over here, that's where it says it is counted. And according to the opinion that says there is avelus in Shabbos, it says ainu mafsekes, which implies it doesn't stop, but there is shiva. He said mishum dekabay lemisna sefer, because at the end of the mishum when it speaks about yom tif, it says mafsekim that yom tif takes away shiva. Tonereisha, when it comes to Shabbos, it has to say ainu mafsekes, it doesn't stop shiva. But the truth is, each opinion stays with its own opinion. And that is one opinion. The Mishnah says it's counted for Shiva, but it doesn't stop Shiva. So one opinion says that means that you sit Shiva on Shabbos. And the other opinion says it means you don't sit Shiva on Shabbos. Or the way Tosfos learns in Rashi, one opinion says you have private mourning on Shabbos. The other opinion says you don't have private mourning on Shabbos. But public mourning, everybody says you can't. That's a given. Okay, and so now the Gemara continues and says, Lema Ketanoi, maybe this argument between Yehuda and Golul, if there's Avelis and Shabbos or not, Lucha'ed is a machlekes of Tanoim, of earlier people. Why? We learned in a Braisa, if a person has a dead body of a relative in the house, you have to eat in another house. Another house, by the way, doesn't mean another house. It means another room in the house. Because there's a din, you're not allowed to, by the way, this is a very interesting din. God forbid when somebody passes away, you try to have a shamer, you know, to watch the body the whole time out of respect, or two opinions. It says in Halacha that when somebody dies until the burial, they need to have a shemir. The body needs a shemir. So there's two reasons. Either because out of respect, you know, just that you don't leave him alone. Another opinion says because of rats. In the olden rats, we'd come and eat the body. In the olden times, they had them all over the place. Right? So Lepero, today you also do shmira, even if they're in a place where it's protected from...
I thought it was for the neshama itself.
No, it's basically for a covered MS. Uh-huh. Or for either that, or that it shouldn't be alone, or for the rats. Now, the din is, it says in Allah, the shamer cannot eat in front of the dead body. You can't learn Torah in front of the dead body. It says you shouldn't smoke a cigarette in front of the dead body. All these things are mentioned in Allah. Why is that? So a lot of it has to do with the same din, why you're not allowed to do mitzvahs in a cemetery. You know, when you go to a cemetery, you have to tuck your tzitzis in. You can't have your tzitzis hanging out. You can't daven. You can't make a minyan in a cemetery. Mamish in the near the graves. Why? It's called leig l'rosh. You're laughing at the dead. Literally, leig l'rosh means you're laughing at a poor person. Okay? What are you laughing? We have mitzvahs and you don't. So it's partially disrespectful to the graves to have a minyan. For mincha, ma'ariv, shachris, whatever. This way, you know, if there's right after a funeral, they want to make a minyan for mincha, They have to go away.
You can say Tehillim.
Tehillim, because that's the covenant of the mess. But to make a meaning as if to say, hey, I'm davening, I have an obligation, and you don't. The same thing, this halacha says, you're not allowed to eat in the same house of the dead, in the same room, meaning in the presence of the dead body. Why? It's like, I can eat and you can't. I can make a bracha and you can't. Okay? So therefore, the din is like this. What does it say in the Braisa? Mi shemeisa muta lefonov, if the dead body is in, right in front of you, eichu b'bayisachar, you have to eat in another room. What happened, en le'bayisachar, what happens if you don't have another room of your own? You know, there's no other room to go to. Eichu b'bayisachar, you go out to your friend's house to eat. What happened, en le'bayisachar, what happened, you don't have a friend's house either, there's nobody around. And you have to eat, you know, you're hungry. So what should you do? You try to make a mechitza, 10 tefachim between you and the deceased. What happens? What happens if you have no choice? You can't make a mechitza. You don't have the supplies to make a mechitza. He says, what do? At least you turn away from the dead. You don't, you know, right in front of his face, you don't go eat. If you have no choice, you just turn your back and you can eat. But in a mace of a eichel, he cannot recline and eat. Like show sign of, like they used to recline in the olden times. And you're not allowed to eat meat, and you're not allowed to drink wine. You don't make a bracha before. Now, I should have said this before. This is all what's called an einin. An einin is for the relatives that you have to mourn for. From the death until the funeral, you are called an einin. And the halacha is because you're busy and occupied with burying the dead, so you're freed from mitzvahs. You don't have to daven, you don't have to make brachas, you don't do anything. So what he's saying over here is two dinim, basically. One din is, you have to have respect and not to eat in the presence of the dead. In other words, you have to go into another room or whatever. And you're not allowed to eat meat or wine, because that's the halacha. From the funeral, from the death until the funeral, you're not allowed to eat meat or wine. During Shiva, you're allowed to eat meat and wine. But until the funeral, the Gemara is saying, oh, you can't eat meat and wine. And you don't make a bracha. Vei mezamen, you don't bench. Vei mevarchen olav, people don't recite for you the bracha. Vei mezamen olav, they cannot, you cannot be included in the mezumen of Rabbi Simavon benchen, because you're not obligated to bench. Upatim mikrishma minatfila. You don't have to daven. I mean, you're parted from Shema, you're parted from davening, or mina tefillin, and you're parted from tefillin. Okay? Umikal mitzvah so amur is betera. And from all mitzvahs mentioned in the Torah. So basically, this din is the din of an einin. So first he says about the man shlachait, you don't eat in front of the dead. Then he says, you should know, you're parted from Krishma, tefillin, shri. You're parted from everything. Now, Shabbos. What happens if you're an einin on Shabbos? That means, the marshal, somebody passed away Friday afternoon, and the funeral is going to be Sunday. So then, Shabbos, there's no aninus. That's halacha. There's no aninus on Shabbos. Meisa ve'echol, you can recline. Ve'echol basa ve'sheisi yayin, eat meat, drink wine. U'mavarecha mezamen, you make brachas, you can bench. Mavarecha mezamen, olive, they could do it for you. Ve'chai be'krishma, u'betfila, u'betfilin. So right away, they all write some mistake. I mean, Shabbos is no tefillin anyway. There can't be any tefillin in Shabbos anyway. Huh?
Well, there are a lot of people that think Shabbos is an antifilling.
But Rashi says, it's Rashi Ksavyad over here, they bring down. If you look on the side, tefillin like Yassina, they ain't tefillin b'Shabbos. Okay, so the halacha is not for Shabbos.
Did it ever work to tefillin Shabbos?
No, there are opinions in the Gemara that you could, but the halacha is you can't.
Doesn't mean they actually wore it. Technically, they argue that Shabbat.
That you could wear tefillin.
The only reason they don't wear it because Shabbat is also an oath, a sign.
Right, but the question is, does that make it forbidden to wear tefillin? See, the Rambam writes that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. That you don't have to. What you're discussing is the machlekes of the Tanoim. Everybody says Shabbos you don't have to wear tefillin. The shaila is, are you allowed to if you wanted to? So some Tanoim said you could. Some Tanoim write you're not allowed to. The Pearl, the Aloch is you're not allowed to. Not that you're not obligated to, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Okay, now, Ram Gamliel says, Mikteich she nischayv be'elu, nischayv be'kula. The fact that the Gemara just said, Ram Gamliel, that on Shabbos you're chayv in Krishman, tefillin, so he says, you're obligated in all mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. What's the difference between Ram Gamliel's opinion and the first opinion? Right? I mean, that's what the first opinion says. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Tashm Shamita Ika Benau. The halacha is, if he's allowed to have marital relations. Meaning, it says, because technically, marital relations is an obligation of the husband to the wife. Now, the Tanakhama says that the fact that you're obligated in all mitzvahs means you're potter from marital relations. Because it's something which is forbidden for you. But Ram Gamliel says you have to do marital relations. So, but before we even go further, what's the logic over here? If private mourning applies to Shabbos or not? Ram Gamliel holds it doesn't. Therefore marital relations are allowed. And the Chachamim hold it's forbidden. Because it's a private avelus, and that you have to do. So the Gemara says, "My love, but how come ifligi? Isn't this what they're arguing about?" Mar Savar, the Tanakama holds, "Yes, avelus b'Shabbos. There is private mourning on Shabbos, and if there's private mourning on Shabbos, you cannot have marital relations." But Mar Savar, Rabbi Gamliel holds, "Ain avelus b'Shabbos. Even private avelus there isn't on Shabbos." So Mistama, the Gemara says, "Isn't that what they're arguing about?" So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know? How do you know that's what they're arguing about? Dilmat kanle tama kamatani kama hasam. Maybe over there. Maybe like this. Maybe even the Chachamim hold, you could have marital relations on Shabbos. Idas Bryce says no. Because the dead body is right in front of you. The dead body is still present. You didn't even bury them yet. But maybe after you bury them, you could have marital relations according to the Tanakhama. He says, "Ad kamei kama tanakama." So maybe the reason why the tanakama forbids it, mishum de meisei motel lefanim, because he's not buried yet. So just like you can't drink wine, you can't. So maybe you can't have marital relations either. Aval hoch, but over here after he's buried, the ein meisei motel lefanim, but the buried, the dead is not in front of him. Maybe you would be allowed to. And we're talking about shiva. There they're talking about aining. That's stricter. So just because a Chachamim hold that Einei cannot have marital relations, doesn't mean in the middle of Shiva Shabbos he can't. And also, Ad Kanle Kamed Ram Gamliel Hossam, maybe over there, now the Gemara goes in the reverse, maybe only over there Ram Gamliel permits marital relations. Why? Because you didn't start Avelus yet. When does Avelus officially start? After the funeral. He says, Ad Kanle Kamed Ram Gamliel Hossam, he didn't start Avelis yet. But over here, in our case of the Mishnah, after Shiva, I mean during Shiva, the Chal Avelis Aleh, where there's already Avelis, maybe Taki wouldn't be allowed to do it. So in other words, the Gemara says, how do you know that the argument between Ram Gamliel and the Chachamim by Aninus is connected to our Gemara at all? Maybe it's not connected. So we have no proof. So the bottom line is, there's a machlekes, the Yehuda guys and the Golul guys, is there Avelis and Shabbos or not? One says yes, one says no. So now the Gemara says, the Chum asked the Shiloh, what's the din? So it says, Boy minei Rav Yechem Mishmul. There were some tapes in over here. Okay. Anyway, so by minay Rabbi Yechmi Shmuel, so Rabbi Yechmi has to shayla from Shmuel, yesh avelus b'shabes or ain avelus b'shabes? What's the din? We have machlekes Yehuda and Galul, yes avelus. No, what's the din? Is there or isn't there? So he says, amalei ain avelus b'shabes. There is no avelus in Shabbos. And Taisus right away says, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, Rabbi Yechmi did not accept Shmuel's answer. Shmuel said, there's no avelus in Shabbos. It could be, because again, Shmuel is going with his philosophy of halacha kedivrei hamekel. It's always lenient, even though we learned that only in the Mishnah. But, you know, Shmuel thinks, listen, if there's an argument, halacha is it could be lenient. There's no avelus in Shabbos. But Yosef, Rabbanan Kamei, the Rav Papa, so the Chacham were sitting in front of Rav Papa. The Kamei, the Mishmei, the Shmuel, and they said the following din in the name of Shmuel. Aval Shashim Shmitasi Bimei Evlei. This is very interesting. An Aval that had marital relations during Shiva Chayiv Misa. Chayiv Misa is supposed to get killed. Capital punishment for having marital relations during Shiva. This is what the Chacham said in the presence of Rav Papa in the name of Shmuel. Amalo Rav Papa said to them, Asir Itmar. He said it was forbidden. He didn't say you get death. You guys misunderstood Shmuel. Shmuel didn't say if you have relations you get killed. It's not one of the Tosim and Atayr. It's even Midrabban the whole thing. You can be Chayiv Misa. And not only that, but Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan Itmar. It was not said in the name of Shmuel, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. That you can't have marital relations during Shiva. And he says, and if you heard something, he said, if you heard something in the name of Shmuel, let me tell you what you heard. That Amr of Tachlifa Baravim Amr Shmuel, Avul Shalipara, an Avul that didn't let his hair grow long, or Shalipirim that didn't rent his clothing, Chayiv Misa is obligated to get killed. And what's the proof of this? Because we just read in Parsha Shmini that Aaron was told by Hashem, Aaron and his children, when Nadav and Avihu died, they said, Rasheichem al tifro, don't let your hair grow long, don't tear your clothing, that you shouldn't die. But they were different, right? Hashem said, normally you have to, that's what we learn out, you have to grow your hair and you have to tear your clothing, because Hashem told them don't. But Hashem says you shouldn't die. Meaning, that somebody else, not a Kohen, or Kohen Gadol, that doesn't let the hair grow long and doesn't tear the clothing, Chayiv Misa is Chayiv Misa. The Mefarshim all point out that this is technically rabbinic. And therefore, it's not, you know, that they actually get killed. They mean that what you're doing is contrary to rabbinic law. And the Gemara says whoever goes against rabbinic law is worthy of dying. Because the Chacham, you know, it says you have to listen to the Chacham.
Well, what Hashem said about Kohen, so you shouldn't die, can't compare to an ordinary person. The opposite would be true with an ordinary person. Because Kohen has a special status.
Not only, no, it was them only. A Kohen has to do all these things, by the way.
Kohen Gadol.
But over there was because of the simcha of the Mishkan, Hashem said to him, you guys don't do this.
Kohen Gadol tears his clothing?
For his parents, he doesn't... One second, I forgot the halacha. The Rambam says, Kohen Gadol, I remember. I don't think he does. But he told them plural, Rasheichem, to all three of them. Elazar, Nisamar, and Aaron. So it wasn't only the Kohen Gadol, it was all three of them. And the Gemara says a story. Amar Afram bar Papa, Tana be'Evel Rapsi, we learned in Evel Rapsi, which is a Braisa, Ovel also l'shamish mitosib b'mei Avelai, and Ovel is also forbidden to have marital relations during the time of his Avelis. And the Gemara says a story, Umaisa be'echo sheshimish mitosib b'mei Avelai, there was Taka, a guy that did it, he had marital relations with his wife during the time he was sitting Shiva, and when he died, v'shamtu chazerim is giviyasi, the pigs, grabbed his corpse, and he never came to Jewish burial.
Oh my.
And the Gemara said, what was the punishment? Because he had marital relations during Shiva. So he didn't merit to be buried as a yid. But again, the concept of Chayiv Mis is not here. He brings down at the bottom, just Yerushalmi, that the disciple of Shmuel became a mourner, and during Shiva, the guy had marital relations on Shabbos. Okay? And Shmuel was angry, and the disciple died. And Shmuel said, even though he paskined, this says in Yerushalmi, even though Shmuel said, Ein Avelis B'Shabbos, but he says, it's not forbidden, but it was wrong to do. And somebody like him shouldn't have done it. So Shmuel got angry at him and he died. Whoa. That's pretty heavy.